Called a Podcast.
Hi, and welcome to the first episode of Sassy Single Mums. My name's Winnie, and I would definitely consider myself to be a sassy mum. And what I mean by that is just women who've had children and they're owning it and doing the best that they can do to be a great mother for that child. I know a lot of single mothers that are doing amazing things. I know a lot of badass single mothers. So I've put together this podcast as a way of encouraging them to share their stories, because you never know who's listening. You know, it could be somebody who's expecting, somebody who's thinking about having children in the future, or somebody who doesn't know what to do with teenagers like me. Please tell me, what should I be doing? So yeah, on the show today, you're going to hear my story and what it's been like for the last 14 years since I had my son Tyrone in 2006. And I'm being interviewed by somebody who's really close to my heart. She's one of a very few people that I still speak to that has known me since before I had my son. So, you know, at times she's been like a mum, she's been a sister, she's been a friend, she's been a mentor, she's been a godmother, a babysitter, all the things that I've needed her to do at different points in my life. So I'm so incredibly grateful. At the same time, I'm also really thankful because she has her own family now and she's able to give them all that love and all that care and all that patience that she had with me. So I'm going to introduce Florence, who was once my head of year.
Can I just start off, Winnie, by saying how proud I am of
you? Thank you so much.
I mean, you've always had it in you to kind of make whatever you want to do happen, whether they be good or bad.
What do you mean, good or bad?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, this is great, and I'm really excited for you.
Thank you so much.
And I'm really honoured that you've asked me to be a part of it.
Of course. Well, who else is going to interview me on my podcast about being a single mum other than you, Florence?
I know.
So where would you like to start?
From the beginning.
Yes, from the beginning.
Which may be hard, but, you know, as you said, this is a raw interview for you. So just keep it real.
Absolutely. Ooh, no pressure. No pressure.
So you didn't just wake up pregnant. Can we take it from the top, and can you tell us a bit about your early life? So before you know, what kind of got you to the place of you getting pregnant?
Ooh, okay. All right, early life. So I grew up, obviously, in a household with my mum, who was also a single parent. And I was a fun child, having a great time. And at some point, my relationship between me and my mum changed. So I was changing. I didn't really realize I was changing. Now I look back, a lot was going on. And our relationship just became really tense. And everything I did was wrong. You know, I could never do anything right, even though I was trying. And in my mind, I was, you know, still the daughter that she knew, and I was doing my best. That's not how it was portrayed. So we ended up having a lot of arguments, a lot of fights, which led to me actually leaving my mom's house before being pregnant with my son. And that was hard, being alone. I was in foster care, and I didn't really have anyone that I could call family, or at least direct family.
That time very vividly.
I remember that time. I remember it really well. That's when I started watching Desperate Housewives. I started watching House. I started watching all the programs I wasn't allowed to watch at home. It was great. You know, some of the best shows came out of that era. But then I also have a lot of traumatic experiences from that era. And yeah, we can dive into that a little bit later.
Okay. So when you went into care, did you see it as, because I've in all the placements that you've been in, I've never felt like you've been settled. And obviously I've always kept contact with you. So I've seen your moods, I've seen, you know, like the space that you were in, you know, when you were at different placements. How did you feel because we never really spoke about how you felt. And I suppose for me, because I would come from the stance of Winnie, what the fuck are you doing? Winnie, what's going on? Winnie, I haven't heard from you. You know, so I know that was the time that you keep a lot from me. But when you were living in your placements, how did you feel settled? Was there ever a placement that you lived in that you thought, you know what, I think I can stay here forever? Or did you always think that you were gonna move on and you were gonna make your own home?
I always felt like I would move on and make my own home. When I lived in placements, it was so lonely. It was just so lonely being around people who didn't know you. They didn't have any stories about you. Didn't have any jokes about you. They didn't know, like, you know, all the stuff that you banter about with your friends and family. Nobody knew that about you. So it was really lonely. People only knew you within what they heard about you in that first 5 minutes and what you told them. So I never felt connected to anyone and I always felt alone. And I always felt like the people who really knew me were out there so far away and I had to almost start afresh. So yeah, it was quite isolating, I'd say, definitely.
Okay. So fast forwarding, how did you find out you were pregnant? Was it planned?
No, it was not planned. So how I found out I was pregnant is because I kept throwing up all the time. I kept throwing up. I couldn't keep anything down. I would have a drink and throw up. I would eat and throw up. Like, everything made me throw up. So one of my friends who I was kind of living with at the time said to me, "Oh, Winnie, I think you might be pregnant." And I remember I laughed in her face and I was like, "Of course not. Why would I be pregnant?" And she was like, "Because you keep throwing up all the time and you can't seem to keep any food down. And this is really unusual. And I think something might be up." And I was like, "I don't think I'm pregnant, but do you know what? We'll do a pregnancy test just so that I can prove to you that I'm not pregnant." And she was like, "Okay, cool. Let's do it." So then we decided to go to the GP. So I went to the GP and I remember going into the doctor's room and I remember doing the pregnancy test and I remember the doctor telling me I was pregnant. And I remember looking out the window and just being like, fuck. It was just, my whole life had just passed right before me. I couldn't believe it because it didn't seem like something that could happen. It just didn't seem like something that would happen. And what were the chances of it happening at that time? But it actually happened and I was in shock. Just for the simple fact that when you throw up, the last thing you think you'd be is pregnant. But in that stage, I was.
And how did you tell people? I remember you called me on a Saturday. I hadn't spoken to you in ages.
I was running away from you.
Yeah, well, you were running away from a lot. You were running away from a lot of things and a lot of people. And you were in a children's home in Kilburn,
yeah.
And you called me, and you told me that you're pregnant, and I had to play devil's advocate. And I was like, you know, are you sure this is what you want to do? You know, I was giving you like the raw real facts of, if you have this child, like, this is it yeah. You and this child, you know, there's no option of you kind of turning back, giving the baby away.
I remember that, you know, I remember it so well.
Living, yeah, or even like living like a carefree life, like I kept it all the way real with you. And I think you just, it wasn't, I don't think you was expecting that response from me.
I wasn't, because it was scary. And I was like,
"Yeah,
oh damn, Winnie, like you need to decide now. Like this is it. You need to be serious." And you made it serious, yeah. You know, because I think for me, maybe then it was a little bit like, you know, yeah, at one point I knew that I had a baby growing inside of me, but it hadn't quite hit home. And I think when I had that conversation with you, you made it serious. And I almost had like a view of my future. It kind of, I saw myself in 2020 and I was like, oh, Winnie, this is going to be hard. But then I have to say, it was probably around that time that I told myself, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it properly. I'm going to have to do this.
So you had the tie. How long was your maternity leave?
I think it was like 6 months. It wasn't very long. It wasn't like traditional maternity leave. I mean, I wasn't even allowed maternity leave. I was a schoolgirl. I was lucky to even still be allowed back in school.
Okay, so when you returned back to school, did you think, fuck it, no one can tell me nothing? Like, you know, I'm going to go in, I'm going to hold my head up high. Or did you think, shit, like, you know, I feel embarrassed. I don't want to go back to school. What are people going to say about me? You know, how are people going to treat me? Or did you think, yeah, I can't wait to go into school and show pictures of my darling newborn son? You know, I've got something that no one else in school has.
No, I was so embarrassed when I went back to school. Oh my God, if I could bury myself in a hat, if I could just throw myself somewhere, I would have. It was so embarrassing. It was the mere fact that everybody knew you had sex and everybody now knows you had a baby. So not only did you have sex, but you had proof that you'd had sex, okay? So it was embarrassing. And every day going to school was a challenge, and I'd have to keep my head high and be like, it's happened, but you're smart enough, you're brave enough, so you just have to, you know. At the same time, I had to be confident. I had to be like, I'm better than these girls, so I'm gonna go to school and not feel you know, and not put my head down. But I was really embarrassed. I was so embarrassed. There was nothing. Yeah, I was super embarrassed.
So who looked after him?
Well, he lived with my auntie because I'd left social care and I decided to live with family. So I was living with my auntie at the time. And yeah, Ty was being looked after whilst I was at school, which was sweet, you know, because who doesn't want to have their child looked after when you can just kind of hang out with your friends? At that age, I was young and I really enjoyed having somebody to look after my child. So I'm not going to lie and pretend that I didn't. And I'm grateful that I had somebody to do that for me at that time, so that I can, you know, enjoy the rest of my year and wear my school uniform and get all my signature signed and go to my prom and all of those types of things.
So after you had him, you know, you obviously done your GCSEs. When you finished school, did you go on to higher education straight away? Did you, you know, how long was you living at your auntie's house for? Or was it like what was the sequence of events like once you finished school?
So I think for me, the plan was always, because I got pregnant so young, I had so many people, it wasn't just you, I had so many people tell me, like, this is going to, you know, you're not going to be able to do it. Why are you going to have such a child so young? You're going to mess up your life. So from the moment I got pregnant until now, my mindset has always been like, I'm going to make this work. So for me, I haven't really had another option. I always knew that I'd have to finish my education, get through higher education, get a job, and be able to like kill those stereotypes and kill, you know, and not be what people expected me to be. If you are going to be a young parent and if you are going to decide to bring a child into this world before you've done things that you need to do, you have to own it. You have to own it and you have to make sure that you work your ass off, because at the end of the day, that child didn't ask to be born into this world. So you need to make sure that you're able to give them the best. At least you have to try to be able to give them the best. There's no use in you kind of, you know, bringing a child in this life and then just kind of loafing around and thinking that everything's going to sort itself out. You have to at least try and see what you can make out of it. So for me, going to work, holding down a consistent job, making sure that I was able to buy my son the things that he needed was my way of trying. And I still do that now because at least I know that's what I'm trying. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, but at least I know I tried. And that's just
it. Yeah. So just to touch on something that you said in terms of like you doing the best and being the best for your child, which is something that without a doubt you've done, but I would say that there have been times in your life where that hasn't always been natural. It hasn't always been your natural instinct to kind of the motherly instinct has always been there, but it hasn't always been, you know, you've been 21, you've wanted to go on holidays, you've wanted to, you know, I remember when you started uni and, you know, your first day at uni and you were really excited, and I spoke to you your first day and I was like, how was it? You know, you were on the Harrow campus, and, you know, we spoke about your day and your first lecture, and you were like, yeah, we can go to America for a semester, you know, and I was like, bruh, you ain't going to America.
I remember that. Rained on my parade. I remember that so well.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, like, this is something that, and I was like, no, you're not going to America. You can't, that shit is for like a young, single, you know, 21-year-old, carefree 21-year-old who's going to go off to America for a semester and go to a university. Like, what the hell is going to happen to Ty?
Yeah.
And so when I say that it hasn't come natural, I think that there have been moments, I suppose it's probably not the right word to use, but there have been moments where you have forgotten that you were a young mum, you know, and probably because you have had help around you and you wanted to kind of do what everybody else, and rightfully so. You know, you've had a child, but you're still a young woman with, you know, with passions and desires to kind of do things. How did you manage to balance the two? So would you say that there were moments where, you know, there were periods in your life where you probably were a young Winnie, you know, who was going out and enjoying things and stuff, and then at what point did you realize that, you know what, this is it?
Yes, I would definitely say there were points when there was a young Winnie, and there were points when I had to be a little less selfish and just not do the things that I wanted to do. I think in the beginning I didn't I don't know what's the best way to explain it, but when I was young, I was young. And the thing about being young is that you don't care and you don't think about anybody else but yourself. You know, a lot of the time you're thinking about, you know, what you want to do, what you're wearing, what you're drinking, and, you know, where you're going to get this and where you're going to get that. You're so absorbed. So I think for me, even though I had a son, those first couple of years, it was about me. It was like, oh, I want to go here, I want to go do this, and I want to go do that. And yes, I always took Ty along with me, and yes, I always had Ty there, but I wouldn't necessarily say I was doing things that might have been in his best interest. Maybe they were in my own best interest. And then at some point, I realized that there were some things that even if I wanted to do them, I couldn't do them if they weren't in my son's best interest. And some of those things were like, you know, not going on holidays during the school time. So making those sacrifices and making sure that I went on holidays when he was on half term, because that wouldn't interrupt with his education. Or, you know, not buying certain things because I'm prioritizing the hobbies that I need to pay for him. And just, I think you do have that switch over. I think it's different for parents who may necessarily be at a point where they're ready to make that commitment and they're ready to kind of, you know, they've had their fun and they've done the things that they want to do, and now they're willing to make the additional sacrifices for their kids, in comparison to someone like me who, I can say, I accidentally became pregnant. I decided that I want to keep my son, but I still wanted to do, you know, I still had urges, I still had cravings, I still had things that I wanted to do as a teen. And that's why I would never encourage any young girl to have a child. Not because it's hard, because having a child at any age is hard. Not because you're not going to be able to do all the things that you want to do, because there are so many other things in life that can happen to you that can prevent you from doing the things that you want to do. But the reason why I would not encourage young women to have children at a young age is because you need to grow. You need to grow. grow. And as a parent who wants the best for their child and who wants the parent and their child to have, you know, everything that you could potentially give them, until you grow and you learn certain things and you develop as into an adult and you experience different things, you are unable to educate and give your child those things because you haven't experienced it. And that's the difference between, you know, having a child when you're 15 and having a child when you're 28. If I was to have Ty now, the life he would live would be so different to the life he lived in the last 13 years. So my advice would be, don't have a child young, because there's so much more you could be doing within that time frame. Have a child when you have experienced enough life where you're able to educate your children and teach them what it really means to live life, because we are all consequences, or, you know, we are all not even consequences, but we are all a product of our environment, what we've been through, our upbringing, our parents, and all of these things. And you'll find that the more your parents have taken the time to nurture you, to educate you, and to put you in the right direction, the more likely you're able to do that for your child. And that is one of the main reasons why I would not encourage anybody to have a child until, you know, they've gained
a good amount of until you're tired of living life.
That's it. Until you're tired of wearing heels. And that comes quick.
Yes.
That comes quick. You get to a point where you're like, no to the stilettos. I'm going to buy wedges. You. When you start buying wedges, have a child.
Yeah.
Sometimes it does happen where you're in a position where you become pregnant and, you know, maybe you haven't accomplished some of those things and you haven't done what you wanted to do. But I'd like to think that I'm living proof that you can still do your best. At the end of the day, you know, your child would love you irrespective of what you accomplish, what you do, what you don't do. So if you do find yourself in a position where you do become a young parent at a young age, do have confidence that you can do it. But just understand that there is going to be, you know, you're going to have to do that little bit more. You're going to have to make sure that, you know, you go that extra mile, just because there's going to be blanks in your development and there will be gaps in what you can offer your child at such a young age.
What's your relationship status like with Ty's dad?
Great question. So I think we've both grown as adults. I think we were really young when we had Ty, and over the years we've both grown, we've both matured, and now we are co-parenting. So we have a really good friendship. I'm able to speak to him in a really honest way. I hope he feels the same way. I'm sure he does. And Ty is able to have the best of both of us, which it hasn't always been like this. It's taken us a very, very long time to get to this. So now we're in a good place. But previously we've gone through all different types of drama. Yeah.
That's good.
You have to do it. But it takes time. It takes time because, you know, like 2 years after the breakup, 3 years after the breakup, 4 years after the breakup, it was not like this. There was still a lot of emotions attached.
How long were you together for?
So Ty's dad, we were together for 6 months before I got pregnant. And then we were together for another year and a half after I got pregnant, after I had Ty. So I'd say about 2 years, 2.5 years in total.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was fine. We were both young teens, just, you know, we were young teens going through stuff. So at the time, things felt right. But as we grew, we realized that we wanted different things. We were different people. We had different ambitions. And I think whilst we were going through that growth phase, we did have agitations of each other because we then realized how different we were. And here we were with this child. And it was like, you're this and I'm that. And we have this child and we have to speak to each other because we have this child. But at the end of that agitation and frustration and just like, I can't believe I have a child with you and la, 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 la. We just managed to allow our love for Ty to take over. So now we're able to co-parent in a safe way. And it means that Ty gets to have the best of both worlds. And that's what's most important.
Oh, that's good. That's good. And that's it.
Cool. So if you don't have any more questions for me, I'm going to end the show With a reminder of our email address, if you'd like to share your story, it's hello@sassysinglemums.com. You can also find us on Instagram at @sassy_singlemums. We are available now on Apple and Spotify podcast platforms. So see you next week when we'll be hearing from another sassy mum.